Good morning. The first reading today comes from Acts chapter 10, verses 34 to 48. So Peter opened his mouth and said, "Truly, I understand that God shows no partiality, but in every nation, anyone who fears him and does what is right is acceptable to him. As for the word that he sent to Israel, preaching good news of peace through Jesus Christ, he is Lord of all. You yourselves know what happened throughout all Judea, beginning from Galilee after the baptism that John proclaimed, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power. He went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. And we are witnesses of all that he did, both in the country of the Jews and in Jerusalem. They put him to death by hanging him on a tree. God raised him on the third day and made him to appear, not to all the people, but to us who had been chosen by God as witnesses, who ate and drank with him after he rose from the dead. And he commanded us to preach to the people and to testify that he is the one appointed by God to be judge of the living and the dead. To him, all prophets bear witness that everyone who believes in him receives forgiveness of sins through his name." While Peter was still saying these things, the Holy Spirit fell on all who heard the word, and the believers from among the circumcised who had come with Peter were amazed because the gift of the Holy Spirit was poured out even on the Gentiles. For they were hearing them speaking in tongues and extolling God. Then Peter declared, "Can anyone withhold water for baptizing these people who have received the Holy Spirit just as we have?" And he commanded them to be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. Then they asked him to remain for some days. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
For 6 weeks this Easter, we're reading 1 John, a letter written to believers in the late first century, with themes of light, love, and confidence in salvation. 1 John 5:1-8, our epistle lesson. "Everyone who believes that Jesus is the Christ has been born of God, and everyone who loves the Father loves whoever has been born of him. By this we know that we love the children of God when we love God and obey his commandments. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not burdensome. For everyone who has been born of God overcomes the world, and this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith. Who is it that overcomes the world except the one who believes that Jesus is the Son of God? This is he who came by water and blood, Jesus Christ, not by water only, but by the water and the blood. And the Spirit is the one who testifies, because the Spirit is the truth. For there are three that testify, the Spirit and the water and the blood, and these agree." This is the word of the Lord.
Please rise. The good news according to St. John. And Jesus said, "As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be full. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, that someone lay down his life for his friends. You are my friends if you do what I command you. No longer do I call you servants, for the servant does not know what his master is doing, but I have called you friends. For all that I have heard from my Father, I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit and that your fruit should abide, so that whatever you ask the Father in my name, he may give it to you. These things I command you so that you will love one another." This is the gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. This is the final segment of a three-part mini-series on readings from the book of Acts. First, we saw how Peter and John, the apostles, demonstrated what it means to live in the power of the name of Jesus. Last Sunday, we saw what happened when Philip responded to a challenge from God to get up and go. And through these stories from Acts, we are challenged, as they were, to live out our faith and to share our faith even at the beginning of our own doorstep, where God brings people who do not yet know Him into our lives. This morning, we continue with the reading from Acts today that has two primary participants, the Apostle Peter, and a Roman centurion by the name of Cornelius. But of course, the main actor was the Holy Spirit. And the theme that emerges from these verses from Acts chapter 10 is breaking barriers down between ourselves and others. In ancient times, there was no deeper divide or barrier that existed between people than that between Jew and Gentile. Going all the way back to the time of Moses, God had given His Old Testament people a number of rules and commands and encouragements to live as His own people that kept them separate from the pagan and heathen nations around them, and that His Old Testament people, by keeping these various rules and commands and regulations, such as worshiping the only true God on the Sabbath, by observing dietary or kosher food restrictions, by maintaining pilgrimage feasts established at certain times of the year and offering specific kinds of sacrifices and so on, and also the rite of circumcision, that keeping all of these things helped them maintain an identity that was theirs as the people of God, so that they did not get caught up in idolatrous worship and the customs of their pagan neighbors. These things were to help them stay true to the one true God who had brought their forefathers out of captivity in Egypt. It was to keep them in the one true faith. God had never intended that by these commands and rules and regulations, He had never intended that His Old Testament people should discriminate against the Gentiles. They, on the other hand, were to be a light to the nations, a light to the Gentiles. But they began to interpret their relationship with the Lord God along some rather exclusive lines. And in their history, various rabbis developed lots more rules and regulations that defined what was clean as opposed to what was unclean. During His public ministry, Jesus reached out to all kinds of people, including people who were considered by the religious leaders of the day to be unclean and beyond the bounds of respectability. But Jesus sought to draw a circle around them and bring them in to the love of God. And in the ministry of Jesus Christ, we see barriers being broken down. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. I think it's important for us to remember that those early Christians were Jewish Christians. The apostles and all the early followers of Jesus were ethnic Jews. And it would have been a leap of faith. It was a leap of faith for them to accept the fact that the Messiah of God was the Jesus who had been crucified on the cross. We know that St. Paul, in his writings, refers to how the message of Christ crucified was foolishness to the Gentiles, but was a stumbling block to the Jews. I think for those early Jewish Christians, it took some time for the full ramifications of what Jesus accomplished on the cross to take full effect. You see, those early Jewish Christians brought with them into their Christian faith customs and traditions from their Jewishness. In the book of Acts, for example, we read how Peter and John and the other apostles went on a regular basis to the temple to pray. They maintained worship on the Sabbath. It was some time, I think, before they began worshiping on a Sunday, which was intended to be a weekly celebration of Jesus' resurrection from the dead. But that took some time to happen. Those early Jewish Christians also continued to observe Jewish regulations regarding what foods were okay to eat and which ones were not. And we know from the writings of St. Paul that he struggled against the Judaizers who came into his congregations proclaiming that it was still necessary for them to observe the Jewish rite of circumcision. So when we think about those early Jewish Christians and how they brought some of their customs of their Jewishness along with them into their Christian faith, we need to remember that those customs and traditions had been in place for about 1,600 years. And the rite of circumcision went all the way back to Father Abraham. You know, it's hard for us to let go of something that has become a tradition for us in what? How many years does it take for something to become a tradition for us? 2 years? 5 years? By 10 years, it's set in concrete. So just think about those early Jewish Christians. That these practices, these beliefs, these customs had been in place for centuries. Wow. It was a huge paradigm shift for them to begin to think about how God's Messiah suffered and died on the cross. That was a huge leap right there. The next leap of faith was that Gentiles should be welcomed into the family as well. Of course, we find that hard to believe. We're Gentiles. Who wouldn't want us in their family? But you sense the problem? Well, in the verses before our text begins, at the beginning of chapter 10 in Acts, the Apostle Peter is granted a vision from God. He sees this giant sheet or blanket being let down from heaven, and on it are all kinds of foods. And God says, "Take, partake of anything that you want." And the Apostle Peter was shocked because among the clean foods were unclean foods. How can this be? And he has that vision three times. Of course, that vision was about a whole lot more than food. By extension, it referred to people. You can't make a distinction between clean and unclean people based on any kind of human definition, including bloodlines, or ancestry, or ethnicity, or color of the skin, or gender, or anything like that. So, as the Apostle Peter's mind is spinning, trying to comprehend the message that God has for him in this vision, some visitors show up at the door of the house he's staying in, and they had been sent by Cornelius, a Roman centurion, a Gentile. And not just any Gentile, the worst of the Gentiles. He was a commander of 100 Roman soldiers. And who were the Roman soldiers to the Jews of that day? They were the enemy. They were the occupying force. And the early verses of Acts tells us that Cornelius was in what was known as the Italian regiment, which was made up of about 10 to 15 companies of 100 men. So that was the creme de la creme of the Roman legion. And this is the guy. This is the Gentile who sends a delegation to the Apostle Peter saying, come over, I want you to come to my house. I want you to talk to me about God. While the Apostle Peter's mind is still spinning, he gets this invitation. Well, I guess God wants me to go. And this is rich. At the time that this happens, Peter was staying in Joppa. And in the Old Testament, Joppa on the coast was the place from which Jonah fled in the opposite direction he was supposed to go. And it was from Joppa now that the Apostle Peter is directed to go 30 miles to Caesarea. He gets there, and it's not just Cornelius and Mrs. Cornelius, but it's all of their servants, it's all of their friends, it's all of their neighbors who have gathered together in this house. They're waiting for the Apostle Peter. And he is welcomed by Cornelius as though he were a dignitary. Peter says to them, you yourselves know how unlawful it is for a Jew to associate with or to visit any one of another nation. But God has shown me that I should not call any man common or unclean. He shares the message of the gospel. It's received thanks to the power of the Holy Spirit. He baptizes them. Hallelujah. And this story makes us think about any barriers that may exist between ourselves and anyone else. We need to think about that in terms of a congregation. Is there anyone who, coming into Christ the Vine on a Sunday morning, would feel excluded? I can tell you that there are a lot of younger people today, and by now most people are younger than me, but I mean young people, who have this idea about Christianity and Christians and churches that we are judgmental. That might not be true. That might not be true of you or of Christ the Vine, but it is a perception. And that's what we have to work with. That's the reality. So how can Christ the Vine congregation work to overcome that kind of perception? How can we demonstrate the compassion and the love of Jesus Christ for us and for all? We need to think about barriers that may exist between ourselves as individuals and some other person. I'm thinking right now about an individual in my life, one of my neighbors, and I really have a hard time with this person. And there's a verse that Pastor Mike helped me find yesterday. I couldn't located on my own. I called him. I thought, I know there's this verse, and he found it for me in about 15 seconds. So if you have any questions, don't ask me. Ask Pastor Mike. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 16. So from now on, we no longer regard anyone from a worldly point of view, but instead we try to see that person that might be separated from us by a barrier of some kind. We need to see them as God sees them. I thought of this old saying. I think I have it right. He drew a circle to keep me out. I, and love, drew a circle to take his in. And through the love of Christ, barriers are destroyed. Barriers are broken. May the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep our hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus. Amen. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Amen.